Merry Christmas, everybody, and welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today I wanted to go ahead and talk a little bit about Christmas, because, of course, every year we start hearing, oh, Christmas is just a pagan holiday, and then there's this infighting among the Christian community about should we celebrate Christmas or should we not? It's all just a pagan holiday anyway, and all this kind of stuff. And you might ask yourself, what is the truth behind all of that? Well, the good news is I actually wrote a book on this topic, and it's actually not just Christmas. It is all of the major holidays that we celebrate, and a friend of mine and I went through and did the very thorough historical backdrop to every holiday out there, and we talk about which ones were merged with, which ones had no biblical basis at all, which ones had biblical basis, the connections to old churches, new churches, and things like that. And the truth of the matter is, when you boil it down, nearly every single holiday we have in our regular Western society, nearly everything is simply a mishmash of various things from a plethora of cultures, a plethora of faiths, and a plethora of different areas. So is there some Saturnalia, that's the pagan holiday, connection to Christmas, and does this mean we worship it or not? Well, the reality is yes and no. And that really goes for every holiday. The purest of the holidays is actually Easter, where that actually has some first century celebratory elements thereof, although the entire concept of the Easter Bunny, of course, possibly comes from some pagan areas as well. But today we're going to focus specifically on Christmas, and we want to talk about where it came from and should we worship it. Now, if you're interested in this topic and in a lot more detail than I can cover in a short video and all of the other holidays, recommend taking a look at this book, Happy Holidays. It is not a very good bestseller of mine, curiously, because it's actually my favorite book that I've written, maybe second favorite book that I've written, and definitely one of the most researched. And what we actually did in this book is it was myself and it was a co-author, and we talked about our different perspectives, him coming from a Christian family and me not coming from a Christian family. And then we looked at all the various holidays from different perspectives. And of course, the biggest issue with Christmas these days in our modern incarnation has nothing to do with the Saturnalia. It has to do with the sheer consumerism surrounding the holiday. And that really is where I think that in our modern day, we have to be far more concerned with that than we have to be concerned with pagan holidays from thousands of years ago. And what connection does this have with the birth of Jesus? That's another fun and fascinating question. And so we kind of get into this, and what we wanted to do is start with the ghost of the Christmas past, talk about the Saturnalia connection. Of course, Saturnalia was the planet Saturn is named for this. This was a worship of that particular Roman deity. So it was a festival that was in that last week of December, marking the time at the starting of the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year, and then roughly 25th or so, 24th, 25th is really when the sun starts coming back, because it gets down to the shortest day of the year, and then there's a slight pause as the sun starts to come back. And so that's really what happened, is there was a festival then, which was marked indeed by gift giving and some celebratory elements of evergreens. Now, what's interesting is that the evergreen tradition was completely lost until Germany 1500s. So while there was this gift giving connection to the Saturnalia, there was actually a bigger connection from the trees in Germany having nothing to do with the trees used in the Saturnalia. In fact, that was explicitly dropped. Now, what had happened is Pope Gregory was a pope around, I want to say that was like 600. I didn't actually clarify that, but in my book, Pope Gregory was interested in removing the pagan holidays from the Roman nation, but he knew an outright ban would not accomplish the task. So what he did is he actually specifically put certain holidays onto the pagan holidays, giving people an excuse to worship. Now, the question is, what does one worship? Well, being as that we already had holidays up to that point in time for the birth of Christ and for other major issues in the church history, not necessarily the Christian history. You have to understand this is the early foundation of the Roman church at this point in time. Now they just decided to attach the birth of Christ because they just didn't have anywhere else to put that. And we figure, hey, the birth of Jesus must be deeply significant, which of course is why we have this idea of the birth of Jesus and all of the nativity scenes and stuff on December 25th. There is no evidence anywhere in Scripture to even remotely suggest that Jesus was born on December 25th. In fact, more often than not, all of the evidence tends to point more towards a springtime birth. And we have this from extrapolations from cultural traditions and things like that. But in the early time, we had the birth of Christ, we had the Christmas trees, which was, the evergreen tree was a part of the Saturnalia, it was not part of Christmas from this time going up until it was, there's two competing theories, both of them puts it in Germany in the 1500s. One of those is Martin Luther, however, there is another competing theory about a Swedish man, a wounded Swedish soldier in Germany, carried with it some form of tradition of the evergreens. Regardless, it does appear that the idea of a Christmas tree originated in Germany in 1500s, having nothing to do with the Saturnalia. Of course, the gift-giving was part of the Saturnalia, and they tied the gift-giving into this, tying the birth story into the gifts from the Magi, which of course lends with it two basic fallacies that we have in our modern church. One of those is that the Magi visited Jesus on the night he was born, and the second is that there were three of them, or the three wise men. The reality is, the scripture doesn't say how many there were. Most likely it was a caravan, not just three people. And but the Gospels actually present the Magi as appearing to him at around the age of 2 years old. And so they would have left for their journey on a 2 years journey around the time he was born, not arriving until much later. And the reason I think that the church conflated the two is we have the only reference to the Magi, I believe, was in Matthew, which glossed over the birth, but the book of Luke covered the birth, but did not mention the Magi. And so what we have is this giving of the gifts. And of course, we have our last element of Santa. Now, Santa itself didn't actually show up in Christmas until much later. The earliest Santa would have been St. Nicholas, which curiously, we believe we just found his tomb archaeologically just last week. But he was he is a saint in the Catholic tradition, and he was a prominent Christian back in the days. He was the bishop of the Church of Maria, and he was sat on the Council of Nicaea. So this was a very influential Christian at the time. Of course, he also was said to attack Arius for the Arian sins, and so obviously there he wasn't a perfect man. Could not find peace in that. Even in the church councils, there were actual fist fights breaking out, and tradition seems to hold that seems to be pretty true. Now, he was actually a Christian prior to the Christianization of Rome. He was imprisoned and tortured for being a believer until Constantine pardoned all Christians in prison. He left and went back to being a bishop. Of course, where the St. Nicholas connection and the Santa Claus connection is he came from a very wealthy family, but he did not want the wealth. And so what he did is he gave up out of his wealth to people who were in need, and he did it as anonymously as possible. Now, as far as the precursors to Santa Claus, you had that Saint Nick, which was not necessarily a big part of this. It wasn't really until we have Sinterklaas and Father Christmas coming out of course, English Father Christmas. You have the connection, of course, you read about that in the Chronicles of Narnia. You have Sinterklaas out of the Dutch, and of course, there's the is it Father Frost, I think, in Russia. There's a lot of these very similar traditions that all seem to have with it an element of having the a saintly, like, jolly man giving gifts to children. All of these seem to have somewhat of a root in Saint Nicholas, going back as oral tradition passed throughout the early days. Now, Santa Claus in our current incarnation, we actually get it from Coca-Cola. The entire idea of Santa Claus being a big, fat, jolly man, go figure. It was one of the most brilliant and enduring marketing campaigns of all time. Santa Claus, as we have it today, actually was created by Coca-Cola. And it's curious that he's a fat man, but whatever we can say. As far as Christmas decor, there were ancient Saturnalia connections where during that time, of course, the sun is going down, a lot of the plants are dying. The evergreen plants, of course, never died, and so there's this tradition of bringing those evergreen plants into their houses during that season as a means to give the spirits living within those plants a place to live. And so that's really where the ancient idea of Christmas came into play. Now, of course, like a lot of the holidays, of course, the only one that still has the negative rap in the Christian church by and large is actually it's actually Halloween. But nearly every one of the holidays connected to the Roman Catholic Church actually carried with them an element of disdain by the Puritans and separatists, such to the point that even here in America, around the Boston area, Christmas was actually forbidden from 1659 to 1681. Decorating, worshiping, or doing anything special on Christmas Day was outlawed in Boston and the surrounding New England colonies. To be caught celebrating Christmas resulted in a 5-shilling fine. This was very isolated because in that same period of time, the Jamestown settlement openly celebrated Christmas. But a lot of the separatists had to do with they were so anti-Catholic that they, anything connected, remotely connected with a Catholic church, they simply declared as sin. Of course, this is something that we see in some modern churches. Church of God, for example, is one denomination that by and large does not celebrate Christmas. They think that the celebration of Christmas or any other holiday for that matter that is not explicitly inside of the Bible is sinful. And so we get that. Now, all of this is kind of the history of Christmas. Where are we today? Like every other holiday, Christmas in the West has a lot more to do with it than just consumer culture than anything else. You know, is there anything inherently wrong with the Macy's Day Parade? Well, that's Thanksgiving. But, you know, the parades that we have the Santa Claus, the reindeers, there's really ultimately nothing. It's not satanic to engage in the cultural elements of those things. It's not problematic. It's not going to send you to hell. Ultimately, like all holidays, consumerism is where it is. And that's, I think, where the Christian's biggest challenge is. So much so that Joel Waldenfogel wrote a book called Scroogenomics, Why You Shouldn't Buy Presents for the Holidays. And what his argument is that all of these Christmas gifts that we buy, the vast majority of them are unneeded extra consumer nonsense. And this is kind of where I sit as somebody that's tangential to minimalism. I do not like the idea of just buying and selling gifts for the sake of buying and selling gifts. We actually have a whole section of the book on white elephant gift exchanges, which I think is utter nonsense. I do not participate in those types of things, bah humbug as it is. But I just think that our world needs a whole lot less of people just deciding to simply buy up useless cheap garbage just to trade as gag gifts. Sure, there can be a degree of fellowship in such a funny thing. Also, depending on, are you making it as comical as possible, which would certainly can be a great evening. But at the same time, by and large, the consumerism around the holidays in general is the thing I have the biggest problem with, because I just don't think that we should be spending all of this money on stuff that for the most part is a problem. Actually, I have a paragraph. I'm going to read this paragraph here. I forget what's in this one by here, but I noticed a little reference to Johnny, so I got to like what I wrote. Sorry, I wrote this book a while ago. Problem here, according to Waldenfogel, is that the most of the Christmas spending for gifts is devalued and that the majority of our giving is not what a person would have bought themselves if they had the opportunity. This means if grandma buys a gift that costs $50 for little Johnny, the gift may not have the $50 valuation if it's not something Johnny specifically wanted. To break it down in a more real way, the closer the relation is to the recipient, the higher the valuation becomes. A parent, spouse, or child generally gets a higher monetary valuation for the gifts than does the great aunt or grandma, unless, of course, grandma buys Johnny exactly what Johnny says to buy. This, according to Waldenfogel, means that it is best to save our gift giving exclusively for those we share the greatest relationships and not worrying about finding a gift for your great uncle. And I understand that sentiment because it's like, I don't want to go into some family gathering and buy a gift for a person that I haven't talked to since last year. Okay, at the same event. One friend of mine said it very well once. He said, "What Christmas has become so meaningless, I think we should all just stand in a circle, reach in a wallet, grab a $20 bill, and hand it to the guy to our left. You know, at the end of the day, nobody's accomplished anything, except maybe we have more trinkets and nonsense that half the stuff we don't want or need or have a use for. If it's a gift card, at least it might be something we can buy something we might really want." It's very interesting. And of course, we get into here a number of different things. Ultimately, though, the ghosts of the Christmas future is where we kind of talk into a little bit more about the worship. Should we partake in Christmas or not? Ultimately, it's got to be a personal decision. But all that being said, the best thing we can do is remember that the ultimate goal for the Christian is the worship of Christ. So even though Jesus isn't born on December 25th, most likely if we are going ahead and use that as a time to celebrate his birth anyway, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not going to be like, that's a heretical. You shouldn't worship Jesus on Christmas. You know, worship Jesus every day of the year. And since we don't know exactly when his birthday is, and we already have a holiday for the spring, I have no problem with saying we celebrate Jesus' birth. I do wish more churches would make it certainly clear that Jesus was not actually born on Christmas, but this is the day that we have chosen to celebrate his birth. And so that is the case. There is nothing inherently sinful about celebrating Christmas. Just because you're celebrating Christmas does not mean you're celebrating the Saturnalia. And this is, I think, the best illustrative point looking at, for example, Halloween. Some people have a big problem with Halloween. Some people don't. More mainstream Christians will have a bigger problem with Halloween than Christmas, of course. But that doesn't mean that you have to just completely turn it into a nonsense day. Just you be careful not to celebrate the evil of Halloween, because you can just as easily give grace to God in the midst of Halloween as much as one can Christmas, depending on the spirit by which you do it. So while there might very well be connections to Christmas and the Saturnalia, a pagan holiday, does not mean that celebrating Christmas means you are celebrating a pagan holiday. That is the ultimate point that we want to make. So feel free to celebrate Christmas without any degree of guilt at all, because it's nonsense to have guilt over such a thing. Of course, if you like this presentation, it is a vast summary. There is a ton more in that chapter on Christmas. There is a lot more. I could have gone on for another 20 minutes just on that. But we also cover the other holidays in this book, Happy Helladays. If you're looking for a fascinating book on holidays, let me just give you the brief rundown. We talk about what is a holiday. We talk about the Baals of today. What do we worship today more often than not? Then we get into the specific holidays. New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. All of these have Christian overtones that we want to talk about. We also complete with a section on the Old Testament holidays, really to get an idea what holidays were back then. You can find this anywhere you buy books online. We have it available in print, softcover, and audiobook as well. So you can find it anywhere you buy books online, or have a look at the website, ourwalkinchrist.com, when we have some links where you can find it there as well. With that, thank you for watching. Enjoy your Christmas, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.